eternal glory. Thankful this morning for the opportunity to get to go to heaven. I'm glad the Lord made that way for us. I notice sometimes people, I do it too, I've done it many times, but we use Scripture and we don't get the full force of it. I've heard it said many times, people would say, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Actually, it says, submit yourself to God. You're not resisting no devil if you don't submit yourself to God. But the advice is generally, oh, just resist the devil. The advice ought to be, submit yourself to God so that you can resist the devil. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Well, that's wonderful. Sure he can. According to the power that works in you. So, if you don't have an exceedingly abundant power working in you, no application. For we know, and we know, that all things work together for good. We know it. It don't stop there. It don't work good for everybody. It didn't work out that way for everybody. It says to them that love God and call it according to His purpose. See, the Lord made many, many promises. He said, I'll be your God, told the people of Israel, if you'll be my people. He said, I'll fight your battles for you if you keep my commandments. Do you know that still exists today? I'll give you a little bit of advice about reading the Bible. Don't isolate scriptures. There's times that it applies, just one verse. But if you really want to get the fullness of it, go ahead and get the whole thing there, because a lot of times we'll pick out what God's supposed to do when He's told us what we're supposed to do. And we'll say, and why ain't this working? God said that He would do this. God said He'd do this if you do this. God said that you could resist the devil if you submit yourself to God. God said everything works together for good. If you love God, call to His purpose. So if we're going to have to read, get more than just a clippets of a verse. Well, I believe that we can go to heaven if we follow the Lord. I believe that there's many blessings in this life. The Lord told us pretty plainly in the Scriptures that we can have confidence in prayer. Right? God hears and answers prayer. No, actually, it said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think God's merciful to all of our prayers. I think God is a very merciful, loving God. But when we start getting into the specifics of it, we're going to have to realize that God will answer our prayers, sure enough, but He said the effectual fervent prayer of just anybody? Or even of a righteous man, can it be any kind of a prayer? When you mean it, with all your heart, and you endeavor to serve God with all your heart, and come before Him that way, there can be an expectation that God's going to hear our prayers. But by the same given idea, Maybe there's going to be something in the way when we don't. So I'd like to look at this a little bit. I'd like to start with a scripture in 2 Corinthians. I started it that way because this scripture is one of those that I believe is that way. 2 Corinthians 4, 14 says, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Now, I'll be honest with you. I think it takes a real level of serving God to get to the place that the idea of death don't bother you. I think that in most places that we get into, even as saved and sanctified as we can be, that there can be a drawing back of things that happen, are going to happen to us in life. When we face our Gethsemane moments, Jesus, I'm so glad he did, folks. I'm so glad that Jesus went the way before us. As a human being, made himself a man and went before us as a human being, so there won't be any guilt on me when I feel like that I'm less than I should be, when I think I want out of this. Because Jesus went to the garden and felt the pains of a human being. And he knew what heaven was about and knew what his Father was about, and yet he was facing the suffering of the cross. He was going to suffer the pain and the agony of that, and in that part he said, take the cup from me if you can. And I'm glad it's in there that way because, well, I'll just say it's kind of funny because I've had a lot of people do this to me. They'll say to me, why don't you smile? Well, I guess I go around with a frown on my face a lot of times, and why don't you cheer up a little bit? I've had people say that to me when I felt totally cheerful, but I guess I go around just with kind of a sour look on my face, and Lord help me to have a better look on my face if it helps people to have a better look on my face. But sometimes it's kind of, to be honest with you, I'm under a heavy load sometimes. I don't want to make that an excuse, but I couldn't hardly imagine saying to Jesus when he was down there at that crucial moment at the garden and saying, why don't you smile a little bit? Listen, folks, we just as well face the realities of things. Sometimes there's a place there in our humanity to deal with serious things, and it ain't all smiley. But I know this, that the Lord will be with us in the things we go, and with things we're going through. He says that, well, I was going to say, it's not always easy thinking about leaving this world, but folks, this is the ultimate of the experience that we're trying to gain. The ultimate reason we gather in this little building on Sunday mornings, the ultimate reason is that we got to leave. We're going to die one of these times. We're going to leave this world. And the ultimate thing that we're trying to gain, we're trying to gain the eternal glory. That's what the purpose of this is. We're not trying to come here because we think that the Lord will bless us and we'll be millionaires. Or that the Lord is going to do, the Lord's good to us, but we're not trying to do that. We come here so that we can make heaven when we die. We don't want to think about it a lot of times. We don't want to face it a lot of times. But the ultimate of what we're doing is preparing our souls for another world. Lord, help us. He says here in this verse, it says, for all things are for your sakes. Now, I want you to get this a minute. It's got to be in context, of course. It isn't for everybody. Or maybe it is for everybody, but they don't take advantage of it. But this says that all things is for your sake. For eternal glory. Everything that comes into your life today, I want to give you a newsflash today. The Lord is saying everything that comes into your life is for you. Good, what you would say is good. What you would say is bad. What you would say makes sunshine or rain. Everything. If we could get a hold of this, that everything today is measured by God for you. You may not be taking advantage of it, but it is for you to
for your eternal glory.
That's what it's for. We don't live in a perfect world. We don't live in a world where people always treat you right. We don't live in a world where you always treat people right either. We don't live in a world where we feel good every morning when we get up. We don't live in a world where we have a perfect body that just keeps right on ticking. The old Timex commercial takes a licking and keeps on ticking. We don't have that kind of a body. They take a licking, sure enough, but they stop ticking. They start failing. And he said of this imperfect world that we live in and are going to go through, you might have to suffer a stroke. Another might have to suffer diabetes. Another person's weakness might be cancers. Another people, but the scripture says all of these things are for you. Folks, if you don't ever raise your head up, you're never going to be able to get really what this is trying to say. It's saying that there is a map mapped out for you in God's love to get your eternal glory. And it's based on the idea of what you do with it. But it says here, for all things, and again, I'll repeat Brother Salmon's, all means is all, that's all means. It's all. Take nothing from it or it wouldn't be all. You can't add anything to it or it wouldn't have been all. All is all. You don't have anything that can happen to you in your life that isn't for you, that isn't designed to make you what God wants you to be, to bring you to places you wouldn't go for yourself, to think in a way you couldn't think for yourself, to change and alter the things of your life. You could never do it. All things. That's all it means. All these things. That means the sunshine and the rain. It means the adversity and the prosperity. It means the good things that happen to and the bad ones. All things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now he's given an indication of what's going to happen in this process of all things. He gave us the process here that's supposed to happen. And I guess I talk about it a lot, and you've heard me say it many times, but I feel the change of an older body. I think in many cases your body starts going way before your mind will accept that it's going. I know mine did. I was athletic and I always liked to play sports, as most of you know. And I remember the day that somebody hit a softball, and I remember my mind taking the steps. In my mind, I backhand the ball. In my mind, I should have caught it and threw it to first. In my mind, did everything that my body couldn't do. In my mind, that ball went and it was like I was trying to go and my body wouldn't obey me. And my mind had the steps. See, you have to have your steps right so you step into your throw. I had the mechanics all right in my mind, but my body didn't do it. And I remember being, what just happened? What just happened? I used to have scooped that thing up so easy. I had it all down, the pattern, but my body didn't obey. So the outward man, the writer says, the outward man perishes. He perishes. But he perishes. I know you may be young. He perishes. I know you may be older and feel good. He perishes. The idea is that he perishes, but this is for you. Because if he didn't perish, you would never want anything else. If you always felt good and everything was great and you was always on the mountaintop, you would never want to leave it. But the outward man perishes. I could ask a few of these older guys in here and they'd nod their head and say, yes, old man perishes. Because I fight with him all the time. He won't do what he's supposed to do. He won't do what I want him to do. I used to enjoy some things that I can't do now. I gave it up a long time ago. But Brother Paul said to me, you going skiing with us? Brother. Long time ago he perished. That part of me perished a long time ago. I think it'd be fun. I can see why you'd do it. But I can also see why I can't do it. Because that part of me perished. So, but see, we can say that, but you're missing it if you stop there. If I say all the time, I can't walk. My knees is bad. I can't do what I do. I get tired. I can't do a day's work anymore. You know, that frustrated me about a year ago. Because last year was the first time I really noticed that I can't really put in a full day's work. I'm like, what's wrong with me? I'm going to be in saw the wood, I load the truck up, and I'm standing there against the truck, panting. I can tell those stories, but you know, I'm not telling it all. The outward man perishes. But the inward man, wait a minute, there's another part to it. The inward man's renewed day by day. Do you know that as the old man dies, the inward man can be younger? He don't perish like the old one does. He can actually become more youthful the longer he's there. More youthful, more vitality because he's renewed day by day. Yeah, the old man's perishing. Yeah, I can't do what he does. I'll be honest with you right now. You all have heard me talk like this a lot, so here we go. Everybody passed. Linda's kind of a blur, and everybody passed that's blurrier and blurrier. Until, if I didn't know you guys on the back, I wish you all could see Jacob's face right now the way I see it. It's just kind of a smudge. See, I know what he looks like, but he's kind of a smudge back there because my eyes are perishing. I never hear what you guys in the back say fully. I can hear a word every once in a while. I try to follow you, but I never hear what you say, and that's why I'm looking for Brother Mike to tell me what you say. Because my ears are gone, my eyes are gone, it's perishing. But the inward man don't have to perish. He can become useful, stronger, more, and more vitality than ever, and he needs to be renewed day by day. So don't stop at half scripture. Sure, these we're overwhelmed in this, but I have a testimony that yeah, my knees ain't working right. Yeah, my arms don't work right. Yeah, I'm getting older. But brother, my soul's living. I got something inside me that's renewed every day. That God gives me something. I'm more alive now than I used to be because I got more Jesus on me. So yeah, sure, it perishes. But there's another side to testify about. Thank God for the life that we can have in Him. Here's the kicker. Your old man's going to perish whether you're renewed day by day or not. Your old man's going to perish. You're going to die whether you get the eternal way to glory or not. That's the truth. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Lord help me. Paul had such a hold of this thing that the most severe trials was a light affliction. He said a light affliction in comparison with something. Light, of course, is a relative term, isn't it? I mean, what would be considered light in lead wouldn't be considered light in feathers. I mean, you know, if you just had a light bit of lead, you'd have a light. I mean, it's a relative term, but he says in a relative term, this light affliction. I don't know what severity of it was, and it doesn't matter. If you have the mind of Paul today, that you would say that whatever was in your life today, you could say it's a light affliction. It's just a light affliction. Because it's not very important. It's not very valuable. It doesn't mean anything. Because what means something is the weight, the great weight of eternal glory that we can have. So when he looked at it, he said, but this light affliction, and how long is it for? We look at it sometimes like it'll never end. I want to tell you something about life. Day always follows night. Sunshine always follows the rain. At some point, it always has, the sea may be, the waves may, the world will know, but it'll calm one day. You'll wake up to a dawn of a calm sea. Life is that way. You live long enough, have you ever seen winter not followed by spring? You'll never see a trial not followed by a good day. As quickly sometimes as you can be happy, you can be sorrowful. Sorrow follows happiness. And happiness follows sorrow. And in my life, sometimes it can be in moments. Everything can seem so good and then the world changes. Something happens that totally rocks my whole life. But the apostle said, this light affliction, it's just but a moment. It ain't going to amount to much at the end of it, because he had a mind towards something else. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh. Here we go. It's a key. It's a monument in the scriptures. It's why we preach about it so much. It's totally there. Because he's dealing with life and trying to get us to understand. Over and over and over, we preach these messages. It's so full of the scripture all the way through that these things work for us. It's working for us. You can't do without it because they're made for you. This is what's made for us. For this light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh. It's working to what God's intending it to work. You can't stop there, though. You've got to take the things that happen as part of this, all things that God has for us in our life, and accept that and take it and allow it to work to something greater. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Yeah, it's just here in this life. But what I'm going to get out of it is such a so much more. I get so much more out of it. And you know, a lot of times, and I use this scripture a lot of times and left it right there. But there's another verse in the chapter. You can't stop right there with this. Because there's another verse here that explains the process. It explains the process that we go through. Folks, we get earthbound. We get so earthbound. Well, we're earth creatures. We've got to eat, so you've got to cook. You can't cook if you don't have it, so you've got to go buy it. And if you buy it, you're going to have money. You got to get it somewhere. Well, most of us think that it's proper to work for it. In some way or another, you work for it, and you get a pay. And so there's a the whole idea, I have to do this on this earth. But if we're not careful, we get earthbound to that. We get stuck with that being important. The most important thing is the processing of my carnal life, my natural life. I got to keep it going. And therefore, I got to think of how I deal with how I save and what I'm going to have and how I spend and if I spend too much and all those things. We got to deal with it. Got to deal with all those things. But here's the advice. While we look not at the things which are seen. Here's what the apostle says. This is following this, the eternal weight of glory. the idea of being able to go to heaven, the idea that this is all working for my good, and these afflictions, it's the light afflictions and all that thing, but only belongs to one class of people. It belongs to those that don't look at the world. It belongs to those that don't put their eyes on the carnal things. It belongs to those that's got their eyes on heaven. You won't do it unless you got your eyes on heaven. I want to go to heaven. I want to see what this weight of glory is. I want to see what eternity's about. So to those, if you want that, then it's to those that don't get their eyes. You get their eyes off of the things that are visible. Get your heart off of those things. Yeah, they're there to use. They're there to use. First, we can't put our hearts on them. We can't make it everything. Because if we do, we miss out on the eternal glory. So, I know we have these things. We have to deal with them. Got to be faithful stewards to it. I understand all that. But you know, you can have more of your heart and mind involved in this world than you do the next one. And when you do that, you begin to lose the battle and the whole thing because you got to defend it. You got to do something to keep it. It becomes, as the scripture said, a planet among thorns. The cares of life is always pulling, always doing that. And he's saying about this, they're not valuable. They're going to burn up when everything else burns up. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are... But we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that pretty much says what the persons that looking at it as a light affliction and the persons that are accepting that this is going to work to me a far greater. Do you know that very thing might touch your temporal world? That crash of your funds, that unexpected crash of your finances, or that unexpected crash of your health, it's all seen. I can look at the figures on a piece of paper. I can look at my body. I can see the problem that happens with my vehicles. I can see the money that runs out to take care of things. I can see all that. And he's saying, don't look for that. God's got that in the all things. And he's working for us to have a something else. I know, folks, listen, I know this is a tough thing. I live it. And it's hard to get your eyes off of temporal things. It's hard to, because it's around us. But the value that we put to it, we better set ourselves that there's more value. There's more value in the eternal than there is the natural. If we was talking the other day about building a house, somebody, I think it was Sister Jody, I don't want to embarrass her, but I think she made the comment that it's one of the biggest stresses on a couple to build a house together. Well, maybe me and you shouldn't try it. Well, I'm going to look at the temporal thing. Maybe you'll want it. Maybe it's that. You better count the cost of the thing, whether it's going to be worth that or not, and whether you can do it or not. Well, I'd like to have it, but I think Linda and I could find grace. I think we could find grace enough to do it. I think. I know there'll be some conflicts because we think different. I think of spreading out. Oh, get out of my way and give me room. She thinks of being nice and cozy and tight. Well, that's fine for a moment. What I'd like to have is a living room as big as this chapel, and in one little corner we could square off when she wants to be cozy. Got to suit both of us. Go some way or another. You know what it is? It's all temporal. It's all temporal. How value is it? So I get it done and I leave this world with fighting with my wife. It don't work. It's all temporal. But there's a promise that it works to an exceeding eternal weight for us. If we allow God to use the things that come into our life And we're looking to heaven and saying, Lord, make me better. Lord, help me to overcome. Help me to get my eyes off of this world. John Wesley had a story where he was over in England and he wrote, this guy, a friend of his, said he wanted to show John Wesley his property. And so they got on horseback and they rode the whole day long. It took them all day. They rode around this man's property on horseback. At the end of the day, they're on a rise, looking over it all. And the guy says to John Wesley, he says, what do you think of that? And John Wesley said, be awful hard to let loose of. He looked at it. Beautiful. It's wonderful. It's also, I can see it with my eyes. It's tangible. It doesn't mean anything. It's not going to get you the eternal way. You're going to have harder and harder. The more you get a hold of, the more you're going to have to let loose of. And the harder it's going to be to let loose of it. But the old man's perishing, folks. The old man's giving it up. Better look to the eternal. Make sure that this inward man's being renewed day by day. And day by day is a really good example, because I'm going to tell you, living for God is day by day. Yesterday's manna don't hold. The grace you had for yesterday won't work for today. Being renewed day by day means that you get up and it gets renewed today. If you don't get renewed today, you ain't going to have it. Because you can't say, well, I had plenty yesterday. Well, last week in my trial, I had a perfect victory. What's wrong now? He's renewed day by day. While we look not at that, the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Over in 1 Peter, familiar scripture. First Peter 4. It says in the 12th verse, beloved, think it not strange. I want to stop right there a minute. Think it not strange. How many times that I have said, this is so strange. This is just so strange. It doesn't make sense to me. It just seems like it's strange. You ever have something that you said, this is strange. It happening this way is strange. What's going on is strange. Who could ever have thought this seems so strange? Well, here's a good verse for you if you feel that way. Because it says, think it not strange. But it seems so strange. I counted as the Lord, but we drove our van for, I don't know, we had one of the busiest times back in the fall. We drove all over. We went to Dallas and back, and to Shawnee and back. We went to Maine and back to Shawnee. We went and went. And the first trip that we made leaving the house after we got back, the transmission messed up in the van. I said, well, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I could have did it anywhere, but the Lord did that. And then this time that I'm normally home, generally we're here through January and February and sometimes most of March. We're here before things get busy. And it just seemed like that there was just a lot of strange things happening. Just strange things. But the Scripture says, brethren, think it not strange. All right? Lord, help me not to think it strange then. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. Anybody want to volunteer for a fiery trial? I'll give you one more chance. Does anyone here want to volunteer for a fiery trial? See, nobody's lifting their hand. If I'd have said you want the sweet presence of the Lord to fill your soul and you just feel the glory of it. Everybody say, you give me some of that. But who wants a fiery trial? But the Scripture says, think it not strange that there's going to be fiery trials. Well, there's a reason for the fiery trials. I know we back up. I know we do. I know we don't want them. I just want to tell you
that when you read the scriptures, read it all. Take it all in. You read about fiery trials, of course you don't want it. I don't want to be thrown into a fiery furnace that was heated 7 times more than want to be. But if you read it all, it wouldn't have been so bad. Because the Lord was there. We'll be where the Lord's at. Sometimes you find the Lord. There's an old song or something that said, the child says to the mom, says, where did he go? The man that was in the fire, where did he go? And the answer was, son, he's still right there in the fire. He's in your fiery trials. That's where he's at. Many times, the experience that we want in the Lord, if we have a mind towards the eternal glory, the experience we want many times is in the fiery trial, which is to try you. I think the Lord knows where we're at. I think many times he wants us to know where we're at. He knows where I'm at. But I don't always know where I'm at. And the fiery trial will bubble the dross up. It'll bubble it up. I've told this so many times on myself, but back when my first wife and I were first married, and I had just gotten saved, and I loved being saved, and I wanted to stay saved, and things would come up, and I thought you were supposed to act right as a Christian. I thought you were supposed to act right. So I was determined to act right. I was determined to act right. So we'd get into our little disagreements or you know, what happens. And I just act right. I just determined to act right. So I'd swallow. I'm going to act right. Well, I did that for a while till I swallowed one time too many. Coming down off of Miller Mountain, driving 55 miles an hour, and we got into a little disturbance of some kind. And I locked that, I'm telling you, I locked that Oldsmobile up and I went skidding down through there and went off the side into the gravel and skid in there. Totally lost it. Well, you say, Brother Marty, that's an awful testimony for somebody claiming to be saved. Amen. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what it done. It boiled the stuff to the surface. It boiled up a bad way of doing it. Folks, there's the grace of God. You don't have to swallow nothing. The proper way of it is to go to the Lord with those things. I was just stuffing it down in there because I thought you were supposed to act right. Well, you are supposed to act right. You're supposed to get the grace of God to act right and deal with your problems. But that only was a trial to try me, and I failed the trial. I failed it. I failed it, but you know where I ended up? I ended up right there. Brother Tony went with me right there, and we dealt with that whole thing, and I got victory over it. And I felt bad about it and had guilt on me because it's not the way you're supposed to be as a Christian. And I failed the Lord, and I failed people. I failed myself. And the trial's the one that showed me that I didn't have it. Think it not strange? What, you think God's going to let you go to heaven and say you missed it? No! He's got all things working for you. He's got the things that's going to show you where you're at. It's a blessing to find out here instead of over there. It's a blessing to get it took care of. It's a blessing to have the light afflictions that are for a moment so that I can get the weightier, the more important eternal glory. Think it not strange, the fiery trials, which are to try you. As though some strange thing happened to you. No, it's not strange. Listen. Remember this thing, this bit today. This that happened to you is not strange. It's divine. If you want to serve the Lord, no matter how odd the situations might seem, no matter what it seems like, the timings of it or whatever it is, It's for you. It's a trial. It's something that's going to make you better. It's not a strange thing. It's a God thing. I look at timings of things. Sometimes it scratches my head. It's God that does these things. And the Lord knows how to do it. Think it not strange. It says, but, and I'll have to keep my hand down right now. But it says, but rejoice. Well, I want the Lord to help me not to be a murmurer or a complainer, but to be somebody that can honestly, in the sincerity of my heart, say, thank you, Lord. I've got so much good out of this last affliction of mine that I am constantly thanking God for it. Thank you, Lord. I needed it so much. I feel like my stance, my position, my place in the race for the eternal glory is heightened so much. God's doing wonderful things, and I'm glad for it, and I'm thankful for it. And it says to rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Well, Lord help me, because I know when things happen, a lot of times I'm saying, no, I'm not ready for this. I don't want it. I don't want this. I was planning on sleeping tonight. I don't want this. But the scripture says, if you take the whole thing in your affliction, rejoice. Rejoice that God has made you a partaker of Christ's sufferings. He suffered. He had to do it that we could be saved. And in our living for Him, there's going to be times. You remember, I think it was Paul and Silas that got the whooping when they was in jail. And they went rejoicing that they was counted worthy. They rejoiced. Oh, that must have hurt. Well, I know it brought blood because I think they said they cleaned it. So I mean, the whoopings was pretty effectual. And yet they rejoiced. Lord, help us to have the same kind of mind. It all hooks together. When the Bible says one thing, it'll almost always give God's part and yours too. You can't leave it at God's part. Well, God promised. You. That's why you never catch me saying at the altar, God, we demand that you do it. You said you was. God will do His part without the demand. My prayer is, and get there to the altar, Lord, we're here to make a petition, but I ain't sure we got our part right. You help us. Because we get our part right, God's going to work. God ain't going to leave His part undone. He said, if you'll be my servants, I'll be your God. He ain't going to be God. He said, I'll fight your battles if you keep my commandments. So if He ain't fighting the battles, maybe we didn't keep the commandment. Remember the time that Achan had sold the stuff and they had just had the great victory at Jericho. So they sent a little force up there to Ai to take care of them. And they come back with, they turned their back on their enemies and 36 or something of them killed. And they come back and said, what's this? And God said, I told you I'd fight your battles for you. But he's soon in the camp. You ain't keeping your bargain. I said I'd fight your battles for you, and the men will—they'll never see your backs unless you don't keep my commandments. You know what? We have a faithful God. We have a faithful God. He's promised that He'd be with us to the end, even the end of the world. He's promised that He would take care of us all the way through. But every one of those promises is contingent on what we do, where we stand before the Lord. When we're obedient and living for the Lord, we can expect every one of these promises to be fulfilled. And when we're not, then we have no expectation. And we can have an expectation of these light afflictions, which is for a moment. Thank you, Lord, for allowing the saints' trials. Thank you for the light afflictions. Thank you for the things that you're bringing in my life. For all of these things, here's the truth. You can go through some awful, horrendous times in your life and not benefit one bit by it. What I always said about the wise is, just because you got gray hair mean you're wise? Well, no, gray hair is supposed to be wise. Is everybody with gray hair wise? I'd show you a whole bunch of foolish old people. It doesn't mean you're wise just because. It doesn't mean you're made more perfect just because you go through an affliction or that something bad happens to you. But if you'll get your eyes off the temporal things and get them on God, every one of these things that happen to you in life will boost you. They'll make you better. They'll increase the closeness with the Lord. And let me tell you something about the Lord that I think I can say totally. God is not pleased, and it does not make Him feel good or something to torture us. Us feeling pain isn't what He's out to do. And one scripture says, I have afflicted thee and I afflict thee no more. Meaning that your time comes and affliction will have its moment, it's in its time, and it'll work what it's supposed to if you get your eyes off the temple and on the God in it. It'll work what it's supposed to, and then the God's promise is then I will afflict thee no more. I'll take care of it. How many testimonies have we had in the camp of the saints over the years of those that had been afflicted and things like that, and they started dealing with the Lord, and many times they was prayed for and nothing happened, and they went before the Lord. And one particular story that went around with one of the old ministers was, as a minister, the Lord sent him to this place to pray for this brother, and he went in and prayed for him, and nothing. The Lord didn't touch, didn't happen, nothing happened. He went and prayed for him, and nothing. He couldn't get nowhere, so the old guy said, I'll be back. And he went out into the barn, and he prayed, and the Lord spoke to him and told him exactly what was going on. He went back in there and went back into that guy and said, unless you clear this up. And the guy started repenting, and he worked it out. And when he got through and his soul was done, the guy said he prayed the prayer of faith over him, and the Lord healed him right there. That's what the Lord wants to do. The Lord wants to heal us. He would that we prosper and be in health. Ah, let's stop there. God wants me to prosper and be in health. Got it took care of. Even as thy soul prospers. Oh, wait a minute. So anytime you start blaming God, God ain't working, you better turn around and look and see where you're at. See, I can know God's perfect, and I know I ain't. And to come down to the end of it, I ain't done everything right, and I know if God wanted exact justice on me, I'd be doomed. So I can't claim it. But Lord help us. We're going to have to get that part right. Get my eyes off the temporal and onto the eternal. Lord, this is something that you done for me so that I'll get to share heaven with Jesus. So Lord, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to live for what you got. And I'd rather be able to say at the end of this thing, I'd rather be able to say that I'm saved than anything else. I can't say that it was a dream. It was more like of a vision in the day. I had a dream that the Lord said that I was standing before the Lord. And the Lord said to me, depart from me, thou cursed. And I said in my vision, Lord, wasn't there anything you could have done that I'd be saved? And he said, yes, I could have brought affliction your way, but you wouldn't want that. Lord, yes, I would. Yes, I would. I'll take what you got that I might go. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.